The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
At this time, we have three wonderful men who are going to be honoring Sharon with their reflections. And the first is Aubrey K. Ewing, her professional associate and close friend.
Thank you, Wendy. Good morning. I'm Aubrey Ewing, and many of you know that Sharon was my partner in our psychological practice for some 20 years. I was actually in the office on Sunday when Reverend Wendy called me to let me know that Sharon had passed. I sat in the room that was her office that morning, trying to recall the essence of her that had slowly evanesced away these past few years from the ravages of this dreadful predatory disease. What surfaced in my memory as I sat in the silence of Sharon's office was the sound of her voice, her distinctly beautiful, rich, resonant voice that you could feel as well as hear. Sharon's voice made you take notice. It had a ring of authority, and there was a polish to her delivery that was evocative. Whether she was teaching an important concept, offering sage advice, telling a dirty joke, or sharing what was in her heart. And she was known to do all of these. The other unforgettable sound of Sharon was her laughter. Sharon's and my offices were at opposite corners of our building, and despite the distance between us, I always knew when she was finishing with a client. I could hear her session spilling into the hallway, usually with her offering some final words of encouragement, followed by her hearty, infectious laugh that echoed down the hall and made me smile. From her own experience, Sharon knew that laughter was healing, and she used it sincerely and strategically as a therapeutic tool. Life was not always kind to Sharon, but she was blessed with an immensely strong constitution that enabled her to draw on all she had experienced to become the remarkable therapist and person she was. She told me once that everything that had come before must have been intended to prepare her for meeting Mike Cassell, the love of her life. I asked her how so, and she said, God didn't want me to screw it up. And I think Mike will tell you that she didn't. It reminded me of that country song with the lyrics, this much I know is true, God bless the broken road that led me here to you. I told her that. And she broke into song and laughed and headed down the hallway to the waiting room. Sharon was about nurturing and loving and embracing life and living it to the fullest. She had a love of knowledge and set out to learn all she could about things that were important to her. She earned her doctorate while working full-time, and while she officially became Dr. Cassell, she was always Sharon to her clients. She was humble and real, the consummate teacher and mentor, imparting what she knew intellectually and sharing what she had lived, which made her empathy as genuine as she was. Sharon's voice was her vessel and the conduit through which she reached us as a wife, a mother, a sister, a daughter, a teacher, a therapist, a partner, and a friend. And the sound of her may have faded, but certainly not her message or the impact she had on all of us. Those of us here this morning, and countless others, are better for sharing having been a part of our lives, and blessed for having heard her beautiful voice and listening to what she had to say. Thank you, Sharon.
Stanley, but more importantly, I'm Sharon's baby brother. I guess all of you know that Sharon was a gem, and like a gem, she had many facets. I always think of her as being very centered and serene and calm in what she's doing, but it's also very clear that she had a real love of adventure and a real spirit. Just a few illustrations of that. Decades ago, my wife and I lived in New Jersey, and Sharon was up for a visit, and I mentioned that there was a glider club not too far away. Was she interested? And then we were there. And, you know, I thought this would be watching the gliders fly, but, you know, there she was, up in one of the planes, soaring, you know, with an instructor, of course, in a plane with no motor. And then, you know, later, I think the same day, I mentioned that there was in Manhattan at a university where I worked that evening a party celebrating a Nobel Prize that had just been won. And I really didn't have an invitation, but, well, there we're off to Manhattan. And not only did we crash the party, but there Sharon was talking with Bruce Merrifield and shaking his hand, the Nobel Prize winner time. So that was Sharon. Later in life, she tells me that she went on some hunting expeditions with her family. I don't know, and I don't really want to know what was being hunted, but I know that she wielded a shotgun and apparently could hit something with it, so she was a shotgun-wielding mama. I know that later in life, she and Mike had his and her motorcycles, not little motorcycles, big motorcycles, and Mike tells me just this morning that they made a trans-state tour all the way up to the Carolinas. And so she was also a motorcycle mama. The most important job for her, the key job, the central job, the one she cared most about throughout her life was actually being a mother to Angela and Gary. She had so much love and so much pride. Her children. And I think you can feel the love that was given by the recipients of that. And in talking with Angela just a few days ago, she said she felt like she had lost her best friend on earth. And as for Gary, she had so much pride in her kids for lots of reasons. A lot of late bloomers in the family, and he in his 40s-something just finished college last year. Sharon would have been a very proud mama. Gary's daughter, Ellie, was or is actually the valedictorian of her high school class. That was just a celebration last evening, the reason that Gary isn't here. Sharon would have been an incredibly proud grandmama. So those are, you know, some of the things. But then going back earlier in her life, much earlier in her life, when she was a youngish teenager and I was a squirt, our mother is blind. Our father had struggles with alcohol. The family had ups, but it had more downs than it did ups. And Sharon was a big part of the glue that held the family together, that propelled it forward. She did most of the work that my parents could not. She cooked the dinners. She did the chores. She did the dishes. She washed the clothes. She took the clothes that were donated to our family, patched them artfully in ways so that when worn, they looked like they were right off the rack. And, you know, that gives you some of the maturity of that, you know, 14, 15-year-old girl at that time to be able to play that role in the family. So she was very strong. It's another one of her facets. And then finally, in that late bloomers category, something you've already heard a little bit about, she went back to college in her 50s, very determined, very proud, very studious, very much about learning, and not only got her college degree, but got her, you know, doctorate degree. And she did that so that, as you've heard from Aubrey, she essentially could serve others to help them find their best selves, to help them find happiness. And in that, she was giving. And that was really the final facet that I wanted to tell you about. Independent, strong, serene, adventurous, giving, loving woman. I do want to say one thing aside from Sharon, and that is to thank Mike. With you, she really found happiness, and I really want to thank you and give appreciation for the strength and love you showed her throughout your marriage, but particularly in those last few very, very hard years. Bye.
I'm sorry, good morning, everybody. This is not my forte. My name's Andy Cassell, son of Mike Cassell, and stepson to Sharon Cassell. Bright, adventurous, caring, determined, earthy, energetic, generous, humorous, loving, spontaneous. Sharon was all this and so much more. I came to truly know Sharon while going through a divorce. One day, Sharon said to me, "Come stay with your dad and I for a couple of weeks, and your dad will love it." Well, a couple of weeks turned into 7 years. But what a blessing it turned out to be. Life at home with Pop and Sharon was full of routine and pleasant surprises. What was clearly evident from day one was how Sharon deeply loved and appreciated my dad. Home life included caring for several dogs, cats, tortoises. It was not uncommon for Sharon to be heard discussing landscape changes or current conditions of plants and trees on the Cassell property. And at times, Sharon would talk about growing up in the panhandle of Florida and sharing memories of her climbing trees in her youth and picking and eating fresh mangoes. Sharon frequently asked Pop and I to taste test and provide opinions about the current crop of rose apples, carambola fruit, oranges, bananas, which grew on the property. There were also times, too, when I found Sharon could be just found relaxing in the backyard, soaking up all that was going on around her. Sharon seemed to really enjoy her time at home. Mother, grandmother, sister, daughter, counselor, healer. Sharon was all this and so much more. Sharon loved to give updates about her own biological family. Sharon talked with great pride about her brother Glenn and family in California. Sharon was excited to report on her children, Angela and husband Jack, in Arizona. Gary and his wife, Nicole, in New Mexico, and her four grandchildren. Sharon visited her family as often as time permitted and returned home with many photos and fond memories. Sharon loved photography and her time with family, as evidenced by so many pictures that you see today, or will see, which chronicle her life. As for her children, Sharon's spirit is alive and well. Just spend some time with Sharon's daughter, Angela. Angela, you will see. I know that Jack and Angela's husband would agree. Sharon's son, Gary, just completed his bachelor's degree in nursing. And Gary is attending his daughter, Allie's high school graduation, as Glenn mentioned. And Allie's a valedictorian and speaking even today. Locally, Sharon derived much satisfaction from her work with counseling families. And Sharon was so proud to be involved with St. Joseph's Church and shared her talents with St. Joe's Youth Group. Wife, faithful friend to Pop, Sharon was all this and so much more. There were occasional disagreements at home, but very few. Sharon's relationship with Pop was beyond special. Sharon and Pop loved each other, and they were in love with each other. The union between Pop and Sharon was a force to be reckoned with, and life seemed to like an adventure for them. Both seemed to appreciate life's temporary nature and savor each moment together. Sharon used her gifts and talents to accomplish many things and affect those with whom she came in contact. And on a personal level, if it was not for Sharon's guidance and generosity, I'm not certain where I would be today. It's difficult to imagine life without Sharon. Admittedly, things are a lot quieter without her, and I miss her. However, I do believe her spirit lives on in the hearts and minds of those present today. Thank you, Sharon. And I can still hear your laugh and see your smile. Your mission is complete, and you're truly home now. There are many more memories to share, so many people to thank, and not enough time. Thanks to all of you. The love and support from parishioners at St. Joe's, those present today, and those unable to attend, have been off the charts, as Pop would say.
Mike, Angela, Glenn, other family, dear friends and clients of Sharon, on behalf of St. Joseph's Episcopal Church and School, I offer you our condolences in the passing of Sharon Donnelly Cassell. I met Sharon back in the 80s in group counseling and then through a deep friendship. And that's how it was with her. You just kept getting to know her, and in the process kept getting to know yourself in ever new ways. She helped me navigate difficult times in a way I'll never forget. You know how she could just call you on your stuff? Absolutely help transform the way you looked at the world, and you'd walk away grateful? You know how she just had that knack? And yep, laughing too. And that, my friends, that rare quality of beckoning someone to go beyond a preoccupation with self, to realize that we really can get back up again, and in the process see the world as joyful, is nothing less than Easter living, resurrected life. We gather in this ancient funeral ritual as Christians, as seekers, skeptics and doubters, and yet what unites us all is that we loved deeper because of Sharon. And that love, the love we all share, the reason we are here, is molding us right now, calling us in hope and renewal, even when something seems just awful, be it small or large. I have to share one of the best Sharon stories ever. We talked about it the other night, and we've told it many times, but it bears repeating. It shows how she could just resurrect a moment. So she's up late at night working in the office, and she's typing away at a paper for her doctorate, and she'd been working on it for a long, long time, for days. And she's there typing away, and she's almost finished. And it's getting later in the evening, and Mike comes into the office to tell her goodnight. He says, "You coming to bed early? Are you coming anytime soon, love?" And she said, "Yep, I'm almost finished. Thank God, thank God." And she's plunking away at the computer. And Mike goes out of the office and just instinctively turns off the light. You know how you do. And didn't realize or forgot that that light switch was connected to the computer, and Sharon had not saved anything. You know, we don't do that more than once, usually. And so Mike went off to bed. Sharon didn't say anything. She took a deep breath, and she recreated that entire tome, stayed up all night long because, as a good ENFP that she was, it was the last minute, worked all night long, got it finished, she's still at the computer, Mike wakes up in the morning, notices her not in bed, comes into the office, and "I didn't hear you get up." Sharon said, "Well, that's because I didn't go to bed." And he said, "I thought you said you were finished." She said, "Well, when you went out and turned off the light, it kind of turned the computer off." And he said, "Why didn't you tell me?" And she said, "Well, then we both would have been up all night. What good would that have done?" That was Sharon. Our world can be cynical and exhausting, so that even the idea of rising above, of resurrection living, can seem impossible. But not to Sharon. She believed in the promise of Christ. She lived the Easter dream, even with all her flaws, maybe especially with all her earthly ways, and she inspires us to do the same. Death has a way of turning the prism, helping us see clearly that which is really important in this life, and healing happens as we realize. And we realize that we are loved by a God so great, and that we are called to love one another, plain and simple. And that is what transforms us. Sharon got that. And just like us, not perfect, she got that she was loved anyway. And so are you, and so am I. We are called by Christ to love no matter what. It's why we'll say the Easter acclamation when we place her ashes in the niche outside. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. You all have a role to play today. We're not just witnesses. We are here for Sharon, she who modeled this transformational living and called it forth in us. We now will walk with her and carry her, quite literally, all the way to the grave. on her pilgrim path toward resurrection. And yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we walk arm in arm, singing and proclaiming unending love and life through Christ our Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit. Something precious and irreplaceable has seemingly been taken away from us, but my friend's life is changed, not ended, in Christ. And we make our song, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. Let's take this now in prayer.